This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, bros? Welcome to the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I am Jonathan.
And we are a couple of aspiring filmmakers that love to watch and critique movies, but also enjoy a lot of bit of the nerd life. This week on the podcast, we only have one item to talk about in 4K Spotlight. So we will discuss that, and then we'll get straight into our breakdown, which will finally be our breakdown of Uncharted.
It's not like it's been pushed back like a month. That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. But we finally both went and saw it, and yeah.
So we're going to break it down. Speaking of that, I have an experience to talk about with that that I'm just going to let you know right now. You might have to mark this episode as explicit.
I usually do, so you're good.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, cool. Good.
That's been my go-to now. I'm just like, did he cuss this episode? I don't remember. Explicit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so you guys can look forward to that, and I think with that, we can get straight into the breakdown. Or not breakdown. Get into our episode. What do you say?
Oh, man, dude.
Yeah, I know. Freaking jump the gun. All right, let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, starting up with 4K Spotlight, we have one new movie coming out. And Rose, do you want to tell us about this one?
I would love to. So it's a movie that we both really enjoyed, a great sequel, and that is Sing 2. So this will be coming to just regular 4K and Blu-ray, along with two exclusives, which I'm tempted to pick up the Target exclusive just because I want to at least own one exclusive of this movie, and they didn't make a steelbook for it, and I'm so mad because I have the first movie on steelbook, and it's just going to look awkward now on my shelf.
Dude, why would they not release a steelbook for this?
Right? It's the top grossing animated film of 2021.
It's the top?
Yeah. Well, because Encanto literally only played for, like, I think 2 weeks. Or, sorry, no, a month before it went to Disney Plus. And so I think it was only able to get, like, 250 million from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Ooh.
And then, yeah, I agree with that, but it's found its stride on Disney Plus. It's made back its money for how many times it's been streamed. It's at number one every single week.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense then, I guess. Yeah.
So
I was gonna say,
good.
Like, that doesn't sound right, especially with Encanto, but. Okay,
yeah.
Taking that into consideration, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Don't worry about Encanto. So with Sing 2, so like I said, regular 4K and Blu-ray releases, of course, but along with those, Target is releasing just a Blu-ray version, and I hate that Target never releases their exclusives on 4K. I hate that. It always has to just be regular Blu-ray. Like, come on, guys, get with the times. But anyway, so this exclusive comes with 10 collectible character cards. Why I kind of want this, I don't know, but it's better than the Walmart exclusive. So who's ready to hear the Walmart exclusive?
Oh, geez.
And you know what? I get it, probably because, you know, like, this is directed to kids, but, like, come on, this is kind of dumb. All right, so it includes Collector's Edition Blu-ray, which that's what all the regular Blu-ray is anyway. It legit says Collector's Edition Blu-ray. Inflatable guitar. Rockstar glasses with pouch. You can't forget that. And a microphone.
Walmart. How far you have fallen.
Right? So, yeah, if anyone wants to pick up that amazing limited edition gift set of Sing 2, where you get an inflatable guitar, come on, that's a no-brainer. That's the exclusive you want. So, that comes out this Tuesday.
I love the passive-aggressive shade you're throwing at this.
So, folks, on March 29th, you can own your very own Sing 2 blow-up guitar.
Yep. Frickin' hell.
Or, sorry, just inflatable guitar. I'm sorry.
Just when you think they can't come up with anything more dumb than the frickin' character cards.
You know, I kind of like the character cards, so...
You hated them at first. You grew to like them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Caleb got me to like them.
Dude, frickin' Blu-ray has bullied you into liking them.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Shit.
But, yeah, that is the only thing that, at least big-wise... that is coming to 4K this week. Oh, sorry. One more thing is actually coming out. Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson movie, Marry Me.
Oh my gosh. Did you watch that movie?
No, I did not.
Oh, so good.
Really? Oh, shit.
I'm a sucker for cheesy romances, and this is just nothing but cheese.
Okay.
But I loved every single second of it.
Okay. Well, you know, when it's cheaper, I will definitely buy it then.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It's a really good time. I loved it. Ugh, just such a heartwarming movie. Anyway, yeah, that's all I'll say about that for now.
But yeah, that's all I got for 4K Spotlight.
Hell yeah. Alrighty, well, with that, like I said, that was our only news item. So how about we get into this week's breakdown?
Let's do it.
Alrighty, this week we will be breaking down Uncharted. Like we said, like what, 6 minutes ago?
The new record. No, I don't think that is.
It's close.
Oh, it is.
The only one that I'm remembering that was like really early was one time when we went like 13 minutes. So wow. I'm not 100% certain that we've, like, other than, like, the times that we've completely, like, had nothing to talk about.
Well, shit.
Yeah, so this might be a record with something that we've had something to talk about.
Woohoo!
Anyway, yeah, so like I said, this week we'll be breaking down Uncharted. If you guys are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. And the 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal grade at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up into thrown into our algorithm and spits out a letter grade for us to look at. And then,
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, and then at the very end, we compare it to other to similar movies of the same score. So with that, if you have not seen Uncharted, do yourself a favor, go check it out.
And, if you haven't seen any of the video game, or haven't played any of the video games, or at least that's what we've been told.
Yes. I have never played any of the video games. I know Rose has never played any of the video games. I couldn't find anyone that's played the video games that wanted to come on.
Damn. That would have been a really fun breakdown.
I know, but yeah, so we're just going to discuss it amongst ourselves because
it's literally just us talking about a movie. We're not going to relate it to the video games at all. So,
yep. So with that, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you. So if you have not seen Uncharted, stop listening past this point. So Rose, you want to take our synopsis? Us?
I would love to. I would love to. All right. So, brothers Sam and Nathan, Nate, Drake, are caught by museum security trying to steal the first map made after the... Wow, I'm already butchering. I'm already forgetting the freaking name. Magellan?
Magellan.
Magellan. Jeez Louise, Jonathan. I just literally saw this movie Sunday. How the hell do I already forget how to say this shit?
Well, they didn't, like, fully... dive into like the whole Magellan, or like not dive in, they didn't focus on it too heavy.
Okay,
so right. Thanks for making I'll let you slide better. With that one.
Appreciate it. after the Magellan expedition, the orphanage that houses both boys kicks Sam out. Before he leaves, Sam promises his return to Nate and leaves him a ring with the inscription Sic Parvis Magna. We're going to pretend that I said that right.
Okay.
I can already just see hear a bunch of Uncharted fans putting in the comments, "That's not how you say it, Rose. I'm sorry." 15 years later, Nate works as a bartender in New York City and pickpockets wealthy patrons. Victor Sully Sullivan, a fortune hunter who worked with Sam tracking treasure hidden by the Magellan crew, explains to Nate that Sam vanished after helping him steal Juan Sebastian Elcano's diary. Nate, who received several postcards from Sam over the years, agrees to help Sully to find his brother. Sully and Nathan go to an auction to steal a golden cross linked to the Magellan crew. I'm just going to keep butchering these names. Where they meet Santiago Moncada, the last descendant of the Moncada family who funded Magellan's expedition, and Joe Braddock, leader of mercenaries hired by Moncada. Nate is ambushed by Braddock's men, and the ensuing fight creates a distraction for Sully to steal the cross. The duo travel to Barcelona, where the treasure is supposedly hidden, and rendezvous with Sully's contact, Chloe Frazier, who has another cross. Chloe steals the first cross from Nate, but the men convince her to work with them. Meanwhile, Moncada learns from his father that the family fortune will be donated, and so orders Braddock to kill his father so that he will inherit the money instead. Nate, Chloe, and Sully follow clues in Elcano's diary to Santa Maria del Pi, finding a secret crypt behind the altar. Nate and Chloe enter, finding a trapdoor, but as they open it, the crypt floods with water. Okay, because it was at this point in the movie that I had my horrible theater experience. Caleb, did you have a bad theater experience at all with this movie?
No. I went to go see this movie around noon on a Tuesday.
Okay.
So there was like no one in my theater.
You lucky son of a bitch. I mean, there was probably about like 10 in my theater because I saw this Sunday afternoon, well, like around like 5 o'clock. So not really afternoon, Sunday evening. But I didn't think that, you know, like there'd be a lot of people there. And you know what? Up until this point, everyone was quiet. It was actually like really, really nice. But at this point, some old fucker. I hear his phone. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And so he not only does he doesn't try to like silence it in his pocket. No, he pulls it out, and that shit is freaking bright. He pulls it out, and this motherfucker is on it for, it seems like, 5 minutes. And like literally bright as fuck. No one's saying anything behind him. I'm right next to him. And so like I'm like putting up my hood, and like, and I fully admit I said it pretty loud. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was so like, I should have told him like to like, can you please put your phone away? But I'm like that kind of person that like I don't really want to, you know, get into it with someone, but I really should.
No, you're just the type of person to bitch about it on their podcast.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Cause that's the best way to do it. Yeah, folks. But yeah, so yeah, he's on it for 5 minutes, and it's during this whole thing where it's Chloe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Chloe and Nate are like about to get trapped underwater, and they have to keep counting on Sully. They're counting on Sully to put a key into one of the knobs, yada yada yada, whatever. So he's like on it for like 5 freaking minutes. And then he puts away. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm hoping that he just told the person that texted him that, you know, hey, I'm at a movie. Don't text me because I'm stupid and I'll check it, even though, you know, I'm not supposed to check my phone while I'm watching a movie. And I'm not joking you. 20 minutes later, he checks it again for another 5 minutes. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me, dude? You paid money for this movie ticket. Why you gotta ruin it for everybody else?
Dude, I would have
checked something at him. VR is becoming much better than, because literally it seems every single time that I go to the movie theater now, someone ruins my experience. It hasn't been a good, like, perfect experience for me probably since I saw Eternals. And that was back in November.
Welcome to the dark side.
this is bullshit.
I say whatever we do next week, because the movies after that are going to be like brand freaking new. We don't have one for next week set up yet.
I got one to do, but
is it like a brand new movie, or like what's the situation with this one? Or with the one that you're thinking of?
Oh yeah.
Is it brand new?
I mean, it came out a couple months ago.
Is it out on, like, digital or anything yet? It is?
Yeah.
All right. We interrupt this breakdown this is how we plan shit. What movie are you thinking of?
I was thinking West Side Story.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Yeah. We can do that in VR.
F yes.
Yeah, I'll get everything.
I like how I say that when, you know, like I haven't said the F word.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, this is an odd time to start censoring yourself.
Okay. Well then, okay. Let's play that scenario over again. Fuck yes.
I mean, we did. Okay.
There we go. You're welcome, bros.
Okay. Yeah. So if our other plan doesn't fall through, or if it does fall through, we'll figure it. We'll do West Side Story.
Hell yeah.
All right, getting back into the breakdown.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, freaking old people suck.
They do. Old fucker. God, I fucking hate that guy.
Dude, that's what I love about the VR, because you can freaking block people.
Yeah, you really. Fucking boomers.
Dude, I went to a. Sorry. I went to a public movie room on big screen a little while ago, like a public one. And like, I was sitting there and was watching Rick and Morty with like a bunch of people. Cause I wasn't like ready to invest in a movie or invest that time into a movie. I just wanted something quick to watch and something fun. So I was watching Rick and Morty, and there was this dude that was, in the theater, and he like came right next to my character, or to me, and was like getting in my face and everything, and I kept telling him to move, and he wouldn't, so I freaking blocked him, and he disappeared, and I didn't have to deal with it anymore. And I'm like, this is great.
Oh, why can't that happen in real life?
Yeah, and then, like, there were some, like, other people talking. They weren't being, like, actively annoying, or, like, it's just they were just talking loud.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't, like, in my face trying to ignore me, or trying to annoy me. They were just talking loud. I freaking muted them.
Why can't that happen in real life? I mean, yeah. That can happen in real life. Just, you know, you're probably going to go to jail.
True. Yeah. But, yeah, like, freaking great, dude. It is so freaking nice. Because, like, I'm like, okay, you're not annoying enough for me to, like, completely, like, get rid of. Because I enjoy, like, feeling like there's other people in this room enjoying the show with me. But you're annoying enough for me to mute. So, it is so freaking nice. Like, I can't wait till VR movie theaters become, like, a bigger thing.
In conclusion, people need to be better and shut the hell up and not check their phones and stop transitioning me to the dark side with VR. I love it, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to lose the enjoyment that I have of actually going to see a movie in person. And you... I'm not just saying old people, but, you know, like people in general.
Dude, I still do not 100% understand why you would prefer to go to a physical theater instead of seeing a movie, like, in VR.
It's just a different experience, man. I'm sorry.
Dude, are you shitting me?
I'm dead serious. I still love VR.
We have freaking, like, decided that the VR movie watching experience is better in every single way, other than maybe the movie quality. But even that is not horrible. It's still really freaking good. Like, yeah. And the quality of VR is just going to get better.
Fair enough. Okay, all right, fair enough. Dude, we still got a freaking... have you seen what movies are still on there, by chance, to rent?
I know they just added a few.
Because I wanted to... Because I really hope... Because I want to watch Jackass 3D with you. Like, I actually want to watch a 3D movie.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Like...
Yeah, the 3D experience is crazy. Like,
yeah.
Someone had... Like, they had, like, a... Like another public room, like a while ago, someone was watching a 3D version of Passengers, the one with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, the movie that ruined his marriage.
Did it really?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Oh shit. But yeah, so they had the 3D version of that playing, and it was incredible.
Shit.
It was insane to watch in 3D. So, I like, anytime you want to do a 3D movie, like, I'm freaking down.
Like, we need to plan this, like, to where, like, because I feel like I keep, like, pushing it back on you. So, like, next week, minus if, you know, things fall through, we watch West Side Story, we gotta watch Jackass 3D. Or another 3D movie, whichever.
I'm down. 100% yes. Down. Anyway, back to Uncharted.
Sorry. Okay, so the crypt floods with water. Sully helps them escape after subduing an ambush by Braddock. Using two crosses to unlock a secret passage, Nate and Chloe find a map that indicates the treasure is in the Philippines. Chloe betrays Nate and takes the map, hinting Sully is keeping a secret about Sam. Chloe brings the map to Moncada, having also been hired by him to Braddock's displeasure. Sully recovers Nate and says after he and Sam recovered Alcano's diary, they were ambushed by Braddock. Sam was shot, and Sully narrowly escaped. Moncada, Chloe, and Braddock's team depart in a cargo plane to find the treasure, but Braddock kills him to gain power.
I did not expect that. Yeah, dude, that came out of freaking nowhere.
Just freaking just walks up and slits his throat. I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, I'm just like, excuse you. You are not famous enough to kill Antonio Banderas.
Exactly. Only Mark Wahlberg in this movie is famous enough to kill Antonio Banderas. No offense, Tom Holland.
Yep.
God damn it. Wait. Beliefs forcing Chloe into hiding with the map. Nate and Sully secretly board the plane, and Nate confronts Braddock with Chloe's help while Sully parachutes out. Nate and Chloe are ejected from the plane during the ensuing battle, and the pair land in the Philippines, where they realize the map does not pinpoint the treasure. Nate discovers the treasure's true location through hints left by Sam's postcards, but leaves fake coordinates for Chloe after correctly doubting her loyalties. He discovers the Magellan. What is it again? God damn it.
Magellan.
He discovers the Magellan ships and reunites with Sully. Braddock follows them, forcing Nate and Sully to hide as her crew airlift the ships. In their escape, Sully commandeers one of the helicopters, causing Braddock to order the other helicopter to approach for a boarding action. Nate defends himself from her mercenaries and shoots down the other helicopter with one of the ship's cannons. Braddock drops that ship's anchor while Nate climbs to the helicopter. Sully throws a bag of collected treasure at Braddock, who is crushed to death when the ship breaks and falls. As Philippine naval units arrive, Nate and Sully get away with a few pieces of pickpocketed treasure, and Chloe is left empty-handed as she follows the duo with her boat.
Okay. Oh. Interesting movie.
It was. You know, considering I saw the movie before I've ever played any of the video games, I don't know if I want to play any of the video games now, because I'll probably be just like, well, wait, why aren't the video games anything like the movie?
Well, I have a feeling that the video games are better than the movie.
Oh, yeah, I've no doubt.
Dude, one thing that was really funny to me was the casting of Tom Holland, because in Uncharted, like the video game, I think Nathan, hold on, let me, I'm, before I like put my foot in the mouth. Okay, he's like 38.
And Tom Holland is what?
He's our age, 25.
Wow, that, okay. Because I know from what I've seen, the original plan, because Mark Wahlberg has been attached to this project literally since the beginning in, like, the 2010s. And he was actually supposed to play Nathan Drake. But
was he really? Changed. Mm-hmm. I heard Nathan Fillion was supposed to play him. Or they wanted Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, so they wanted to, but that was never confirmed.
Oh. Yeah, don't know. I don't know. Mark Wahlberg could have done a decent job in this role. I know that they were supposed to be like an older duo.
Yeah.
Like I think Mark Wahlberg could have played like Nathan Drake, and then because Sullivan or Sully is supposed to be like an old man.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, I was okay with it because, God, I loved these two's banter.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. But I think my issue was, I'm like, this is kind of like an intense story. Like, why didn't they cast an adult? And then I realized Tom Holland's your age, dipshit. Like, you are an adult. I have a lot of moments like that. It. Dude, I have so many freaking moments like that where I'm just like, I wish they would have cast an adult. And then they're like, look, and they're like, oh, they're like a little bit older than I am, maybe like a year or two difference.
Oh, shit.
It gets me every freaking time, dude. Like, anytime I'm like, gosh, they freaking cast a child in this like super mature role. Nope, they cast an adult. um, But yeah, like, the story overall was pretty compelling. Like, it was cool. Like, the Drake kids had their ties to, like, historical treasure hunting. Like, yes, they had that attachment with their family. And he had this obsession with, like, the Magellan ships and everything. So, like, everything, like, made sense. I think the only things, like, story-wise that I didn't necessarily care for was the stuff with with Moncada. Like, Antonio Banderas' character.
That's fair.
Like, it felt like that whole conflict was super not necessary. Especially with what they did with him. Like, I thought, if they would have kept Moncada throughout the entire thing, like, I feel like that would have made more sense. But why did they, lead this on and then kill Braddock? Like, I know that it was, thing.
You mean have Braddock kill him? You said kill Braddock.
Oh, yeah. Have Braddock kill him.
Sorry.
Didn't
mean to correct you.
No, you're good. Like, yeah, I think that would have been confusing. But anyway. It was just confusing. Like, I understood, like, that Braddock needed the resources. But why would she kill him when she... Like, is it just because, oh, all the resources are going to be there, and so now I don't need you? Or, like, what was the deal with all that?
I mean, it might have been just because he was starting to get on her nerves with saying, like, oh, you weren't able to get the job done like I wanted you to, so he brings in Chloe.
Yeah,
so,
but
she kind of kept failing him, and so, I don't know, I'm sure that was maybe starting to get to her. That's all I can think of.
I thought it was dumb. Like, I thought it was dumb the way that they pulled that off. Because, honestly, I think, like, a better thing... Because, like, they had all the resources ready to go, right? Like, everything was, like, set to go. Like, everything was set. They just had to jump on the plane and go.
Yes.
Or at least that's what it seemed like it after figuring out some, like, treasure... some ship stuff, but I think what they should have done was had Moncada kill his father in the car, given that a little bit more of a moment, and then have Braddock kill him, or kill Moncada also in the car. Like, just get both of the Moncadas out of the way, and then you have, like, their resources available to you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It was weird because, like, everyone on that team already seemed like they were in on the plan. So it was, I don't know, it just felt odd, the timing of it all.
Yeah, that's fair. That is absolutely fair.
But it also made me feel like we wasted a bunch of time following him around. Like, I'm wondering what this movie would be if you just completely eliminated him. Because then you could just say that it was Braddock who had the obsession, and then Moncada's father. Like, if you just have Antonio Banderas in it playing Moncada, the money, and then you, like, give him the role that the father had. And then he goes and tells Braddock, hey, we're cutting this close, blah, 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 blah. And then Braddock kills Moncada. They go and do the mission. Like, I think it would just float a little bit better had they done that. Like, just made That's a fair. Little bit more sense.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. I can get behind that.
Yeah, it just felt weird because it's like Moncada, who's in charge of everything, obsessed with this treasure. His daddy wants to, like, defund him, so he kills his father, and then they go on the big mission, and then his second or his right hand person kills him. Like, it's just odd.
Yeah, it's,
it would just, it would have been so much better if it was like, all right, Moncada, obsessed with this treasure, hires this person, starts talking about disbanding the search, and then the person he hired kills him to continue the search. Like, much better flow there. Yeah. And you completely eliminate one person from that. So, some of the, I mean, the treasure hunting stuff was pretty cool. Like, they had a lot of stuff in this. Like, they had, like, if you're thinking about it in a video game, they had kind of, like, the spy, like, stealth missions set up, and then, like, an escape mission, then treasure hunting mission, and then, like, more combat and, like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Like, it was super interesting, though, the way that they set it up. It just felt like there were different portions of the movie that that kind of was focused around a certain type of mission that you would play. So I really wish I knew more about the games, because I'm wondering if the games are like that, if they have like those types, or if it's just we should have done more research on the game.
Yeah, we should have. Oops.
But anything with Nathan and Sully was pretty good. I thought it was really funny just how they didn't trust each other. Like, especially Sully's whole thing with not trusting like any of them.
Like, especially when they go to get the first key at like an auction. And, you know, Sully kind of lets Nate take the rep, or rap, whatever. And so Sully gets into a car, and he's just like, you literally were just going to let, you were just going to leave me there just to, just defend for myself and get screwed. He's just like, yeah, well, someone had to get the cross. he's just like, you made it out, right? And he's like, that's not the point.
Yep. Yeah, as I think about this, like there was a couple times where the story just kind of dragged a little bit. It was an interesting story, not my favorite story of like anything else I've seen. Just getting into like my score of it, I'm thinking maybe like an 81. It was good. It was entertaining, I should say. The way that they had everything set up, it was entertaining. But I think they could have done it a bit better. Just eliminating some of the unnecessary characters, reworking all of that stuff. Like I said, if you could have eliminated the role of Moncada's father completely, if you would have just thrown Antonio Banderas in that role.
Yeah.
And then after that, maybe just paced up some of the treasure hunting stuff a bit more. Because I feel like specifically the scene with the chest full of salt. Or the big pots full of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whole sequence could have been paced up a little bit better.
Okay, like, yeah, that's fine.
Most of my issues are pacing and just them taking too long in a certain portion of the movie. Everything else, yeah, like, worked pretty fine. Like, I really thought that was interesting. Like, Nathan and Chloe having to navigate the underground while Sully's trying to navigate above while everything's kind of like modernized, and realizing that there's a key, a lock in the key in like, what was it, a Subway or a Domino's?
There's, yeah, well, he said Papa John's.
Oh, Papa John's, yeah, like, and him trying, like, just the shit that they got in, like, with that kind of stuff was so funny. So, I mean, that helped with the pacing a little bit, but I think the treasure hunting stuff could have been nudged along a little bit faster than they did.
Yeah, that's fair. I can definitely agree with that. For me, I might actually go like slightly below you. I'm going to go an 80. Usually these kind of movies, like adventurer movies, like, you know, like treasure hunting, this kind of stuff, it's usually not my cup of tea. I don't usually attract to these kind of movies. They're not my favorite. But for the most part, I actually really enjoyed this one. Like Caleb pointed out, there are some storyline problems and there are things that you can take out, even a character that you can take out. But overall, I had a good time with the story.
Yeah. Dude, I thought it was so weird seeing that they that they did like a D8, like a 10 years later thing with the kids. Because he was supposed to be 25 or in his 20s, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and then like in the past, he was supposed to be like 15. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, you know what is weird? How many times they try to shoehorn in Tom Holland shirtless in this movie?
Oh my gosh, dude. Freaking unnecessary as hell. Like, come on. Like, be better than that.
Like, yeah, like, seriously. Like, come on. Everyone knows they'd rather see Mark Wahlberg shirtless. Come on.
Yeah, freaking hell.
I was waiting for Kale to be like, no, that's only you, Rose. That's the response I was honestly expecting, not the... Yeah.
Dude, if you're freaking attracted to Marky Mark, freaking set your standards a little higher.
Ouch. What's wrong with Mark Wahlberg?
Dude, he's funny looking.
Ouch.
Dude, it's like all those, like the group of like characters that I throw him into, they're all weird looking. Like, I don't understand so many of the obsessions people have. Like, Mark Wahlberg's one of them. Like, I think he's funny looking. Matt Damon is another. That I'm just like, what the hell is people's obsession with Matt Damon? Like, he's a good actor. Like, I really like his acting, but like everyone's saying, like, oh, he's so hot. I'm like, is he though? And then maybe
it's like two for two right now for who I find attractive.
Yeah, and then the other one that I'm just like, I don't understand is freaking Brad Pitt.
Oh yeah, I don't understand that one either.
Like, even like his early stuff when he was like the hot thing, like I'm just whatever, dude.
Okay, two for three. Not bad.
Like, other than like this scenes where he's just like all muscly, or the movies that he's like, I think Troy was one of them.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But other than movies like that, I'm just like, I do not understand the obsession. Oh, and freaking George Clooney. Like, George Clooney, I think, is weird looking.
Damn. Wow.
Dude, freaking hot takes all around over here. God.
But he looks such an asshole.
I know. Dude, I don't know why, but I always group those four. There's probably more. But I seem to group those four together. Freaking Mark Wahlberg, Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, and George Clooney. Like, I don't know why I group them in together. Maybe they were in like an Oceans movie together. I don't know.
They actually might have.
Yeah, like I always group them together, and that's really funny. Like, they're just really freaking weird looking, dude. Like, I don't understand everyone's obsession with them.
Dude, I don't understand everyone's obsession with Tom Holland. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Oh, you freaking take that back.
No, I won't take that back.
You don't think Tom Holland's like a freaking stud muffin?
No, I don't. Like, don't get me wrong. I love his personality. He's a great actor. I love him in every single thing that I've seen. He's an amazing Spider-Man. But no, he just doesn't do it for me.
Dude, you need to get your eyes checked.
Hey, you can have, you know what? You can have Tom Holland. I'll take Mark Wahlberg, so shut it.
Fine, make him get the better end of that deal anyway.
Bet.
Oh, man. Anyway, getting back to story. So, yeah, you said you were sitting
after,
at,
you know,
80?
Kind of playing a game of a smash or pass.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. All right. So with your 80, that averages our story grade to an 80.5. Moving on over to writing. I feel this was really good. Wasn't my favorite writing. I feel like there was a few unnecessary things that were, or dialogue that was in this. Like the whole thing with Sam, like, I understand that, like, Sam was the motivation behind Nathan going on this adventure in the first place.
Yeah.
But it just felt like they hid too much information about Sam for way too long.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, as soon as Chloe was like, oh, you told him about Sam, right? I'm like, okay, this is where, like, you should just freaking spill it. Like, yeah. Spill everything about Sam and continue on with the story. But no, it was, like, constantly a problem.
Speaking of Sam, how did you feel about that post-credit scene?
Dude, holy shit. Like, I knew it was coming.
I did too. I'm like, it's Sam. It's Sam. We all know it's Sam. Sam. Yep, there it is. Yep, there he is.
I'm like, woo.
Caught me off guard.
What?
One thing that pissed me off, though, well, not pissed me off, with the post-credit scenes is, like, I think that's the first one, and then after that is, like, Sully.
One basically
and,
setting up a sequel?
Yeah, with Sully and Nate, and, like, you know, Nate making fun of Sully for having, like, a mustache and everything. It's a funny scene, but I hate that it was spoiled in the trailers.
Yeah, what kind of bullshit was that?
Yeah. Like, why would you post the why would you put a post-credit scene in your freaking trailer?
Dude, I legit thought, I'm like, oh, they just completely cut that scene.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Cuz, like, the entire time I'm just like, it doesn't seem like they're going to be like do any like jump forwards, like I was expecting it, like, the way that they had it set up. I'm like, okay, they're probably going to do it at, like, the very end. And, like, set up this whole thing. And then once that happened, they did the first post credits. I'm like, okay, so they're just not going to do that scene altogether. And then the freaking end credit scene was that. I'm like, dude, what horse shit? Like, so yeah. Dumb.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a waste of time.
It was still funny. Don't get me wrong. Like, Mark Wahlberg delivers the line very well. Oh, you know, your puberty's just around the corner. But yeah, just, it got, we already saw it in the trailer, so it wasn't anything special.
Yeah, like, freaking just take one note out of Marvel's book. Don't show your post-credit scene in the freaking trailer.
Exactly.
Yeah, trying to think of any other, like,
About the writing for, oh my god, what's the, like, evil girl's name?
Braddock?
Braddock. How'd you feel about the writing for her?
She seemed a bit intense a lot of the time.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like, I don't know, like, the scene where she's... it just felt weird coming out of her mouth, I don't know why, when she tells Nate, say hi to your brother for me.
Just, yeah,
the way
I'm just
that,
like,
she said it. I'm like,
yeah, she's almost like too sweet to pull something off.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. But at the same time, like, just because the only movies I've seen Tom Holland in are the Spider-Man movies, and so because I haven't seen Chaos Walking with him and Daisy Ridley, but when he would say, "Oh shit," or like would curse, I'm just like, Tom, PG, man. It was just very weird.
He said shit in Civil War.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Dude, it's when friggin' Ant-Man grew, went to Giant, and he's like, oh, shit. You don't remember that?
Okay, now I'm remembering that. You think that considering that he was a lot younger than that, that would be like, oh my gosh, Tom, stop cursing. But for some reason, in this one, whenever he would curse, I'm just like, yeah, this is weird.
I think he's trying to get into more mature roles.
You know what? I can appreciate that. I respect that.
Yeah. Like, I think that's something interesting about all the kid, like the kid actors that we grew up with. They're all trying to get into more adult roles. Yeah. And I kind of am really afraid that Tom is getting a little bit of burnout from Spider-Man. Because he's always talking about, like, not wanting to, like, it doesn't seem like he wants to do Spider-Man for much longer. And that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that does make me sad.
The one that, like, that bugs the hell out of me was Simu Liu from Shang-Chi. Like, the guy who plays Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah.
He's afraid of, like, he's trying to accept a variety of different roles to avoid being typecast as Shang-Chi. And I'm like, bro, you went on a rant for like the past like 5 years freaking wanting to be Shang-Chi.
Yeah, and now you are him, and now you're just like, well, I don't want to always be, you know, my career to always go back to that character. Why not? You were in an MCU movie. That's like the peak of what you can put on your freaking acting resume.
I know, dude. Like,
okay, maybe like maybe
I understand okay. Like being like wanting to go out and like explore different roles.
Yeah,
but the way that it seems like the actors and actresses are always like, oh, I don't want to be typecast as one character. I'm like, dude, that immortalizes you.
I feel that's how I think Don Lee, Gilgamesh, is kind of like kind of accepted that he's always going to be cast as like the strong one. And so honestly, for how many movies,
yeah, because he's a freaking beefcake.
Damn right. But for how many, like, God, I don't know how many freaking movies he's made, but literally they are, and he's actually been criticized for it. Like, oh, like he always plays like the serious strong man. Like that's all he knows how to play. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's not true. He also plays the funny strong man.
that is true. But it's just like, if he enjoys doing it, they're making money. They're making they're making the consumers happy. So be it. Let him do what he does. It's not like it's the exact same movie every single time. It's just, you know, different storyline, but like kind of like the same character aspects.
Yeah, but like, it's tough because it's like, I don't know how it is, obviously, from their perspective, but from an outside perspective, like, why wouldn't you want that?
Exactly.
Like I said, it immortalizes you.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the point where when people, like, with Tom Holland, like, you're eventually, like, if you do, like, another trilogy of movies, with how big of a part you've played in these movies, when people think Spider-Man, they're going to think Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Like, those three are, like, immortalized as Spider-Man now. Yep. Same thing with Hugh Jackman. Like, he can obviously perform in other roles. Like, we've seen that when it comes to, like, Greatest Showman or any of, like, his earlier work, like, before X-Men. But he is Wolverine. Even if someone comes in after, like, let's just say someone comes in, like, the next Wolverine comes in, freaking kills it, and it's just universally loved, people are always going to remember Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I like with Simu like not wanting to like trying to like avoid that with Shang-Chi, I'm like, dude, if people don't remember you as Shang-Chi, like they're gonna remember you as the dude from Kim's Convenience.
Like, I love that show, though. Dude, thank you for turning me on to that show.
Oh my gosh, such a good show. But yeah, like he, that for someone on the outside is immortalization. And it's hard for me to understand why you wouldn't want that.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
I think that's a question, like if we ever got someone like major famous on here, I'd love to ask them about just like, why do you guys want to avoid being like typecast? Like, I know it makes it more difficult for you to find work and like get in on different projects, but like, do you actively avoid it because it's hard to find work after? I'm like, for Tom Holland, they're going to be making, or he's going to be making Spider-Man money for the rest of his freaking life.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's Sony's golden boy.
Yeah. Like, and then, like, same thing. Like, they're going to be making, like, some crazy freaking money off of his characterization for years to come. Like, what? And I understand that, like, oh, I want to go and do, like, other projects, but, like, why? Like, I get it. Like, if you want to be like, oh, I got into acting for the love of it, and I want to act in other things and be part of that process. Like, I understand that, but
like, I don't know. Like, Tom Holland's case, I completely get it. Like, I completely understand. Simu, right? That's how you say his name?
Yeah.
Simu, I have a hard time with him a little bit just because of how much he pushed Marvel to, not push them, but he's just like, hey, Marvel, when are you going to cast me in, you know, something? Oh, how about, you know, Shang-Chi, you know, yeah. You like kept persuading them. Like, he put so much effort into it that the fact that, like, just after, like, one movie, he's just like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be typecast whenever.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, freaking chill out. Like, you've been in one movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're still at the point where you could be recast.
Exactly. Until Tom Holland wants to go somewhere else, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. If Sony has a say in it, no one else is playing Spider-Man.
Yep.
Well, you know.
Anyway, getting back to the Uncharted writing.
Yeah.
Not too much wasted dialogue. I do feel like there was there was enough for me to notice, like, okay, that didn't need to be in there. That didn't need to be in there. That was just a completely throwaway line. And a lot of it was around Sam.
I don't know why this kind of felt like you could put the two scenes into just one scene. When Antonio Banderas' character, I'm sorry, I already forgot his name. I apologize. Is talking to his father, and they're sitting in front of that church, I think, like on a bench. And then literally the next scene is them in a car, and that's when, you know, like he kills his father. Like, I get, like, the symbolism of the church. Oh, yes. Okay, so, like I said, I get why the symbolism with the church behind them, but I feel that scene where, you know, his father's talking about, hey, you know, like, you're not getting any of the inheritance, you know, it's all going to charity, yada, yada, yada. I feel that that could have honestly just been said in the car when they're both going to somewhere as well.
Easily.
And then he just kills him right there as well.
Yeah, dude, that would have been so much better.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest writing problems I had, was that scene.
Yeah, it's just Mankato's, I think that was his name, right? Yeah, Mankato, a lot of his dialogue could have been cut down, like, absolutely, something awful. And I know that there was a lot of quips between Nathan and Sully, and those worked out pretty well. And I know that there was quite a bit between Chloe and like most of the people in Sully.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well. It worked out like super well. But I don't know. I think there's just things that could have been done a little bit better. Like one thing that I didn't like fully understand. I think they needed to show more of a financial struggle for Nathan than they did. Because why is he stealing shit if he has a job?
I mean, I'm assuming he probably doesn't make jack shit as a bartender.
I don't know. I feel like they could have shown that a little bit more.
That's fair. I mean, I can't remember. Did they show his apartment at all?
They did, and it wasn't, like, horrible.
Oh.
I don't think.
Yeah,
It didn't seem like anything that he couldn't afford.
I feel, I don't know, if they wanted to show that kind of struggle, he should be living in, like, an apartment like, you know, Peter Parker is at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home.
I don't even think that. I think maybe they could have put him in something nicer and then, like, then made us question, okay, how the hell can a bartender freaking afford this? And then shown that he steals. And then, like, oh, okay, that tracks.
Yeah.
Like, just something along those lines. Like, just set it up a little bit better. Because for me, it didn't seem like he needed to steal.
You know, fair enough.
Where are you sitting at with writing?
I would say I'm below a little bit from the story, only slightly. So I'm gonna go 78.
Yeah, I don't think I'm quite in the 70s yet. I think I'm at like maybe a 70 or. No, I'll go to an 80. I'll try and be a little bit generous to this one. It was just not quite as good as the story was. Like if you're really diving deep into everything that they try to do.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, next up we got acting. So I think the big ones were Tom Holland, who played Nathan Drake, Mark Wahlberg, who played Victor Sully Sullivan, Sophia Ali, who played Chloe Fraser, Tati Gabrielle, who played Braddock, and then Antonio Banderas, who played Santiago Moncada. So out of these people, who would be in your top three?
Sorry, I gotta pull up the names because I'm like totally forgetting them. So number three, I would give to Chloe. What's the actress's name?
Sophia Ali.
Sophia Ali. She was great. Really enjoyed her performance. And honestly, when she betrayed Sully and Nate, I thought that was a really good character moment for her. Did you see it coming?
Her like betraying.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I would honestly agree with that.
Like it, just the way that they just did not trust each other, it was just blatantly obvious that they weren't going to like get along the entirety of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think it was kind of dumb how they like completely cut her out of the final part.
Yeah, that was honestly dumb. Like come on, I thought it was kind of turning into like a trio kind of thing, but then yeah, at the end they're just like, nope, back to a duo.
Yeah. What about your number two?
Number two, I would have to give to Tom Holland's Nate.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Don't get me wrong, I really liked his performance. I think he did a really, really good job. Had some really good one-liners. All really, really funny. Actually, honestly, this might be like one of the funniest times I've seen Tom Holland. Don't get me wrong, his role as Spider-Man is freaking hilarious. But he is actually a very, very funny guy. He knows how to deliver comedy. But I'm sorry, number one has to go to Mark Wahlberg as Sully, because I freaking loved his character. He was such a smart ass. I loved every minute of it. He was so great in this movie. Whenever he was on screen, I'm just like, dude, I freaking loved your character so much in this movie. Oh, yeah, yeah, number one, absolutely, Mark Wahlberg.
Damn. Oh, my top three is a little different. It's the exact same people, though. My number three, I would actually give to Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
I thought he was really, really good. Not necessarily, like, when Mark Wahlberg gets cast, he's playing Mark Wahlberg. I don't think he has too That's much fair. Of a range.
That's fair.
Like, I think the most not Mark Wahlberg... Actually, I can't even say that. Never mind. I was just trying to think of a movie that, like, he didn't play Mark Wahlberg, but he's just... Yeah, like, it's just Mark Wahlberg playing Mark Wahlberg.
Why is that so funny?
It's...
The way you said that.
Yeah, it's tough for me to give him, like, super high when it's just, like, the same characters over and over and over and over again. It's just different costumes.
Hey, you know what? Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
So, yeah, not necessarily, yeah, not my favorite, but I think he did, like you said, he did do a really good job with the comedic performance and... just kind of being that comedic relief for us. My number two would actually go to Tom Holland.
Okay.
I think my only surprise is that you would put, like, with yours was putting Mark above Tom. But
really, you're surprised? Oh.
Yeah. Like, I honestly thought that you were either going to go with Tati Gabrielle, who played Braddock, or Antonio. But, like, I thought maybe for a second, but, yeah, number two I'd give to Tom Holland. I think he gave a really decent performance, very similar to Peter Parker in a way. Maybe just a bit more suave than Peter Parker.
Definitely more of a smartass.
But yeah, his comedic bits were pretty good. He nailed the action sequences, like, amazingly. My only issues with his performance was when he was talking history. The way that he was talking about the history, it felt very scripted.
You know what? I can absolutely agree with that. Yeah, I kind of noticed that too.
Yeah, it didn't feel like he was pulling it from, like, the top of his memory. It felt very much like he was reading an excerpt from, like, an article or something. It kind of got a dock points for that. And with how much he did it too, it was like, if he would have only done it a couple times, like, I probably would have been able to forgive it. But it's just throughout the entirety of the movie, he gave that kind of performance, and it was always with the history, like, always. Everything else, like, felt really good. Like, his comedy felt like off the cuff. His banter with different people, like, it all felt really good. The only part I had issues with was when, like I said, the history. And then number one, I'd actually give to Sophia Ali. I felt she gave a very powerful performance, with the trust and everything, like not being able to trust anyone, kind of showing some vulnerability with Nathan. I think she pulled off that really well. And she, like, kind of got to the point where she was like learning to trust, but never got quite there. Like, which we saw as like the moment where she gets like the fake coordinates and she just freaking bounces. Like, it was good. Like, I thought she did really well. Like, she pulled off like the betrayal really well. Like, everything. Like, there, I had close to no issues with her performance, other than like maybe some dryness here and there. But other than that, like, I thought she did really well. All right, where are you sitting at with the score?
For how much, especially, I loved Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland's bantering off of each other. I just love seeing these two together. I'm going to go an 85.
I'm actually going to go a little bit lower than you.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go down to an 82. It was like, don't get me wrong, it was like the performance was watchable. It was like, it was, that's all I can really say. It was watchable. The actors like did the best that they could. I felt I think Tom kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Like, just with, like, okay. I said, with the dialogue, we've seen him do better, and I...
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially just coming off of No Way Home. Like, I don't know, like, the order of, like, filming or whatever, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't either.
I feel like he, like, especially with what we got in No Way Home, like, we could have gotten something way better out of him for this. So yeah, I'm down at an 82, which averages us out to an 83.5. Moving on over to character development. I don't know about you, but I didn't feel like there was any growth or arc for Nathan.
Oh, there wasn't. No, like, yeah, at the end he was still the same character.
Yeah, he was the exact same. The only difference now is, actually, he thinks his brother's dead, so he's, like, exactly where he was.
Yeah.
Or not, like, not quite exactly. Like, he knew that his brother was out there somewhere. Or he thought his brother was out there somewhere. Comes to find out his brother's dead, and then it just, like, that was it. Like, nothing really character-wise came from that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I can't think of a single freaking thing. The only, like, I feel like Sully had more growth, but even then, not really. Like, he was just so after gold. Like, that was, like, he was just after the riches. And came upon the riches and had, like, one moment of being like, okay, I can't let this kid die. Went and saved Nathan. And then Nathan pulled out some treasure for him, and he's just like, yeah, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah, exactly. He's not like, oh, you know what, kid, you keep it. You deserve it. No, he's just like, yeah, no, gimme that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Like, you almost had a good character moment, and then you had me and you lost me.
Yeah. I almost would have preferred them to not have had any gold. And
that, yeah, that's fair.
And then, like, have him fly in silence for a little bit, and then have Sully start bringing up a different treasure.
I would have loved that. And that would have been a really good setup for the sequel.
Yeah. Like, it would have been super good for the sequel, but just, like, eh. I think they dropped the ball. Like,
Cannonball?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I have some extreme thoughts with our next category. but this one, it's hard for me to give really high on this, because I don't think we didn't. I don't think we got any arc from them, from either of them, from the two main characters. I don't think we got that much of an arc.
I agree.
So I'm fairly low.
I am too.
Where are you sitting?
I'm gonna go a 70. Not a 9, damn it.
I was going to try and be nice and give it a 71, but I'll happily give it a 70 as well.
Okay, cool.
So that averages us out to a 70. Like I said, not much to go off of with this. It was.
That might be our like shortest discussion on character development.
Yeah, like honestly, I'm going lower. I talked myself into going lower. I'm going down to like a 64.
Okay.
It was just there's nothing to talk about with their development.
65 for me.
Alright, so that brings us to a 64.5 for the character development. Because like we said, there wasn't any.
Yep.
Alright, moving on over to effects. I have many problems.
Let's hear them.
Let me get this out of the way first. Action sequences, the stunt work, was amazing. Like, they did some really cool stuff, and it looked like Tom did a lot of his own stunts.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I don't know if that's 100%, like, if that's super true. I'm just saying it looked like him.
It did, very much.
The one move that, like, really got me had me whoa, was when they were fighting at the auction, and he did, like, this cool, like, spin on the railing. Like, it kind of looked like he was going to, like, jump off, but, like, did, like, a spin to get behind the big dude. And on the right, like, that, I thought that stunt was super sick.
Honestly, fight was really cool with him just, like, jumping onto the, not chandelier, but, you know, like, the whole, like, light fixture up in the ceiling.
Yeah, that looked super cool. Like, everything that happened in the art gallery was really cool. And throughout the movie, a majority of the stunt work was really well done. Felt really real, didn't feel too supernatural, I would say.
That's a good way to put it.
My problem lies with how they set this up. Because they set this up in, like, reality, I feel. Like, they didn't have anything, like I said, that felt superhuman. Any feats like that. So, when they had a single helicopter lift up an ancient pirate ship with the entirety of its load on it, and I'm talking cannons and barrels upon barrels upon barrels of gold, solid freaking gold, I was just like, bullshit. That's not how that works at all.
Nope. And I absolutely agree.
Like, when they had the helicopters coming down, I'm like, okay, they're going to have like two helicopters per ship, which I would have bought way more than one per ship.
In reality, probably you need like four. I doubt that is possible because I'm sure that would be quite a struggle. But yeah, I could like somewhat buy two. Yeah, I can't buy one. That's bullshit.
Easily could have bought two. Easily could have bought two. But yeah, in reality, you probably like it's not even the fact that it was like one, which I, pr- that was like a okay, that was a majority of the problem, that it was only one. But it was just the fact that it was a single prop helicopter. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Those things need at least four turboprop, or like two, yeah, turboprop, double propeller, like massive freaking machines to carry that shit. You're talking about solid iron cannons.
Yeah.
Like solid iron cannons. Like I'm pretty, like I have freaking cast iron, I have a cast iron tabletop for my freaking table saw outside. If I drop that on a wood floor, it would just fall straight through.
Damn.
Yeah, and you're telling me that one, a single prop helicopter, lift up that entire ship. You can go to hell. And yeah, like freaking bullshit, absolute bullshit. Like there's no way, like I thought they were even going to do something smart, like okay, let's take all the barrels out and load them into like a net, and then we'll take the net and like come back for the ships later, like something along those lines. So it's like okay, instead of having like fighting over the freaking ships. I mean, it led for a really cool scene.
Oh yeah, that was badass.
It was super cool, but I could not get over the freaking single helicopter.
Yeah, that was real bullshit.
And I think on top of that, it was the fact that it went to like a single chain, right? Or did it have different mounting points for each of the chains? Because there were four chains. Because it like they had like a weird like a band underneath it. And then, like, going up onto the chain. So, did they have four mounting points for the chains, or did it lead into one?
No, it led into one.
That it. Nope. That's not how that works at all. Someone didn't learn the physics properly.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to look up how much a pirate ship, like, weighed.
I'm, like, kind of scared to see how much you're going to knock down the effects. I'm very interested.
Okay, like, what size do you think the ship was? Like, man.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Alright, hold on. I'm calling it. Oh. Okay. a medium-sized class of a warship. So this was a three, so that's like a three-masted ship with square sails. Okay, well this only had one sail, right?
I think so. What I'm remembering, yeah.
Okay, they weighed around 1,000 tons.
Holy shit.
Which, that converts to 2 million pounds. Oh, screw you. Oh, wait. Oh, okay. Okay, I had a little bit of a freak out because I thought at first, like reading it, that it could have lifted it.
Oh.
Okay, because I read it wrong.
Oh.
Because so those ships would weigh around 1,000 tons. That is a medium-class warship. The ship that we saw was like an exploring ship or like an exploration ship. So it was significantly smaller. It only had a single mast, a single sail, and Yeah, so I would say it's about... not even like, maybe half of that. I'll be generous and say it's about half of that, which is 500 tons. So 500 tons in pounds would be, it'd be 1 million pounds.
Jeez Louise.
Right. So the, a light utility helicopter can lift between 12,000 and 4,000 pounds. So that is a light helicopter. Like a light utility helicopter. The M26 helicopter, which is the world's largest heavy lift helicopter, can transport up to 44,000 pounds. So if you divide 1 million... by 44,000, you would need 22 of those bastards to lift up a pirate ship. And wow. That's not even taking into account the gold. So you, Uncharted, can go screw yourself and your physics department.
Oh shit, dude, I love that you added that into this. That was awesome.
That was a lot of boring math for our listeners, but it's math that needed to be done.
It was.
Your physics department can go screw themselves thinking a single one-prop helicopter can pick up that much. No, you need 22 of those bastards.
And that's not just for both, that's just for one of them.
You would have been so much better off realistic-wise had you just thrown the barrels.
Yes, seriously. No.
Oh, shit. Dude.
God.
That is so much worse than I thought. That is so much worse than I thought. Oh my gosh. Anyway. So, that is one thing that I'm definitely docking for. But regardless of that, of the physics of the frickin' moon, I guess. it did lead for pretty good scenes. Like it looked really cool. Like the way that they were swinging in and out of the mountains and everything, that looked really frickin' good. Definitely could tell that it was like a CG everything.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that, absolutely.
But it wasn't super distracting either. So, I mean, it fit well. It just wasn't like the best effects in the world. Like, it didn't, like, you could tell it was fake.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm giving props where props are due with the stunt work. Have to dock for some of the janky shit. I think I'm going to be at an 83.
You know, I'm going to match that. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, that averages us out to an 83 for effects. Next up, we got music. I mean, the soundtrack wasn't horrible.
No, I mean, kind of like how you point out, which I really like in every episode, like, there wasn't, like, a tune that, like, got stuck in your head. You didn't walk away humming something from this movie. Unless you did.
Not really.
Me neither.
It's been a minute since I've seen it. Were there any, like, big songs that they played? Because all I'm remembering is, like, the scores. And the scores fit well, but...
Oh, yeah. But no, not from what I remember.
Yeah, so I think I'm sitting at a 7.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's hard to justify going any higher for music. Because, I mean, the scores just didn't, like, blow me away or anything.
Yeah, I agree.
It just the music did what it was supposed to. But I don't feel it enhanced the scenes any. It just it accompanied. Like seven is just did the music do what it was supposed to and accompany the scenes well, then yes. Eight and up is more like, okay, it enhanced the scenes. So yeah, seven is perfect. Alright, next up we got costumes. Pretty basic costumes, I would say.
I would agree. I mean, you know, at least they gave Nate his classic look from the video game. I don't know about Sully. I don't know if that's like if he just wore like a cargo button-up shirt. Not cargo, but
you know. I don't know. I've I know nothing about the game other than like what I've seen with Nathan Fillion, like that fan film that they did.
I haven't seen that.
It's good. It's only like 14 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a short little one, but I freaking love Nathan Fillion.
He is a gem.
Yeah. So, costumes, I mean, they fit well. I think like you said, it matched the video game pretty closely, I would say. Other than that, not too impressive. Like, from anyone, I think maybe the only one I would consider being like, oh, that, like, her costume was, like, a bit extra, was Braddock.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I think I'm at a 7 for your costumes.
I'm gonna actually be at an 8.
An 8?
Yeah, just because I appreciate that they, at least with Nate's, I don't know about Sully's, that they actually stayed true to the video games and gave him his classic look towards the ending of the movie.
Okay. Well, since we round down, that brings us to a 7 for costumes.
I like it.
Alright, last up, with our own personal score, Rose. You want to take this one?
I would love to. So, overall, I honestly walked out of this movie liking it a lot more than I thought I was. When this movie first came out, everyone literally said, if you have played the video games, you're going to hate it. If you never did, you're probably going to enjoy it. You're going to have a good time. And I had quite a good time. It was definitely a fun ride. Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg had really good chemistry together. I loved their bantering off of each other, like I've said many times in this episode. They were just great. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll try to actually play an Uncharted game now that I've seen the movie. We'll see. But yeah, overall, like, for how much I had a good time with this movie, you know, I'm going to go an 82.
Damn, I have my scores set up on a sticky pad.
Yeah.
The only one that I changed was character development. And I was seriously at an 83 for my personal score.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just for all the reasons you said, it was good. I enjoyed myself. There were not very many things that pulled me out of the movie, but it was the freaking helicopter, like, completely pulled me out.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that.
Like, what? Like, it was just, I think maybe even if it was like a bigger ship or a bigger helicopter, I probably could have bought it a bit more.
Like, we talking like Blackout and Transformers
size? Yeah, like just something bigger with some like meat on its bones. Like this, this felt like weak as shit. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a good adventure movie. I loved the puzzles. I think they solved stuff like maybe a little bit too complicated for like it to be too interesting the entire time. One thing that I did appreciate though is the keys, like the crosses and how they became like you had to use them both.
That was
like
cool.
Or throughout, like, you obviously it was like separate. Like you could do a few of the puzzles separately, but then like having to work together at the very end. I just liked how big of a role those had, because I feel like in a lot of adventure movies or just treasure hunting movies, it's like, oh, we found this key, we use it to get it here, and then we never need it again.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was nice that it's like, okay, it felt like you guys needed to hold on to this a lot longer than just to open one freaking door.
Yeah.
So I really like that. Really like the dynamic between Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland. I would love to see them in something else, maybe a bit more on the comedic side.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I think that could be really fun. But yeah, overall, had a really good time. But yeah, just not one that I left the theater being like, oh, I need to see like more of this. It's just like, this was good. And if they come out with another one, I will go see that one too.
Yep, same here.
So, pretty average feelings about it. So, yeah, that's why I'm at an 83 for it. But with that concludes this week's breakdown, and the final All Bros letter grade for Uncharted has come to a
sorry.
Jeez, freaking went hog wild with that one.
Man, dramatic effect, man.
All right, it came to a C+.
Okay. I honestly actually thought it was going to score higher. I thought it was going to be in, like, the Bs.
Yeah, I'm not hating where this is at, though.
Now looking at, I forgot kind of how bad we graded character development, so yeah, C+ makes absolute sense.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and honestly, where this is at, like, compared to the other movies, I'm not hating it.
Okay.
So Uncharted is sitting at a 79.12%. That puts it below Mortal Kombat 2021, which is at a 79.49.
Okay.
Which that like comparing Uncharted to Mortal Kombat, like that's a perfect comparison for me.
That yeah, you know what? That's fair. Which did you enjoy more though?
Mortal Kombat.
I'd have to say Uncharted, actually.
That's fair. Honestly, it was just maybe one character that brought Mortal Kombat up for That's me. Fair. But yeah, so yeah, below Mortal Kombat 2021, which is at a 79.49. It is below Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is at a 79.58. And Brucker, we all know that it should be higher than that.
Brucker, are you proud of yourself now?
Yeah. Honestly, that's the... Like, if we fix that one, I agree with most of our scores. let's see. It's below Aladdin, which is at a 79.62. Which... Eh. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
It also puts it below The Croods, A New Age, which is at a 79.68. And then finally, it's below Yesterday, which is at a 79.81. Going on the opposite end, this puts it above Jexy, which is at a 79%. It's above Army of the Dead, which is at 78.87. It's above The New Mutants, which is at a 78.77. It's above Godzilla vs. Kong, which is at a 78.56. And then last, it is above Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, which is at a 78.28. So, all
right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think it has a pretty decent home.
I agree. Yeah, I really like its placement.
Yeah, and like I said, the margins here are super freaking tight. like, hell, to get one full percentage away, you have to go all the way down to Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
God damn.
And that's eight movies before it's a full percentage away.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, there's a decent amount of chunk in there where it's like, I think objectively, you could just say that, like, if we were just around to the nearest number, a lot of the, like, or not the nearest, like, if we were just to knock off all of the, anything past the first number, or the first two numbers, it would basically be saying, like, Uncharted, or Jexy and Up are all 79%. And then from, like, Army of the Dead down to Venom, Let There Be Carnage is all 78%. Like, they're really freaking close. Like I said, it's the five, like, the five that I listed off underneath Uncharted are, like, it's 0.8% difference.
Wow. Okay, wow.
And then, like, going upwards, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, like, yeah, 0.7. So the margins are really freaking tight on it. So,
no kidding. Wow.
This is why I love our system, because you could just see, like, oh, this movie gets a little bit higher. Like, you have, like, a definitive ranking of these movies based solely off of the percentage, and I freaking love it. But anyway.
I was like, wait, I swear it's you.
I thought you froze.
Oh, no.
Like, I thought it looked like you were about to say something, so I was like, freaking go. Anyway, like I said, that concludes this week's breakdown. If you liked this episode and want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever we listen to podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts.
Wherever we listen?
I mean, we listen to podcasts. Like, forget you. Wherever you listen to podcasts, I don't care. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Radio.com, Spotify, and more. You can also catch all of our episodes on YouTube. Be sure to follow us on social media. If you want to hit us up with episode ideas, want to answer our question of the weeks when we post those, or if you would want to join us for an episode, we would love to have anyone on. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at The All Bros. Check out our email, which is or email us if you want to do any of that stuff I listed earlier, at theallbroschannel@gmail.com, or head it to our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros, where you can find links to everything that we do. The link to that will be in our description below, or above or next to it, wherever the hell the description is. There will be a link to it. And then next week is up in the air. We got sent an indie movie that we don't know if they want us to do a review of it, just because the email that they sent said press release only. And so they might want us to do a review of it later on, or just the fact that we have spoilers, we weren't sure whether or not they wanted us to do it. So we're going to hold off on doing that until we get confirmation. So we will either be breaking down that, or we'll be breaking down West Side Story next week. One of the two.
Yes.
But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we'll catch you guys next week. Deuces.
So long.